In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Obviously, this is not a lecture on worship. Only a brief meditation that has to say a few things about an inexhaustibly rich text. Think what that means. The true nature of worship. To worship God in spirit and in truth. If we lived in an age of enormous ritual elaboration and formality, this meditation would have to take a certain direction. You would have to inveigh against the curse of a formalism, a religion gone dead and hardened in external forms. Already the Old Testament warns, rend your heart, not your garments. There's no use going through outward forms if the heart remains far from God. But we don't live in this kind of age. Our age is sort of the opposite ditch of that. We live in an age in which we think we already know what it means to worship God in spirit and in truth. The temptation of our age can be gauged from a certain way of talking. And I give one example. It's customary in some circles to distinguish a spiritual unity from external unity. Spiritual fellowship in the church from external fellowship. Now, mind you, it's perfectly all right to distinguish internal and external fellowship and unity. We have to distinguish that. A great Fort Wayne theologian of the last century, Dr. Seeler, at a conference of the meeting of the Synodical Conference, gave a wonderful essay where he said, the internal bond of the church of unity is faith, and the external bond is the right confession. External fellowship is participation in the outward means of grace. So it's perfectly or it's necessary to distinguish internal fellowship, internal unity, from external fellowship and external unity. But is it the same thing when we call that spiritual is internal, spiritual versus external? The moment you do that, dear friends, then you fall into the trap of the typical contemporary idea, where everything in us, especially our little experiences and feelings, oh, this is very spiritual. It's in me, after all. And the mere liturgical external devotion of the church, that's somehow at least a step beneath that. That's only external. This whole thinking, dear friends, needs to be corrected in light of what it truly means in the Bible to worship God in spirit and in truth. In the Bible, spirit and truth do not stand as against the external thing, the inner versus the outer. That's the Greek obsession. For the Greeks, the body is bad and the soul is good. We know from the revelation of the divine scripture that it is our inmost being that is bad. It is our soul that is bad. Original sin cleaves to our soul. The body is a relatively innocent runner along with the crime of the soul. And therefore, to come to worship God in truth is first of all to face the truth about ourselves. That dear woman of the text, rather resourceful theologian, wasn't she? She had said, I haven't any husband. Did she intend to tell the truth? No. The Lord very gently and pastorally said, yes, you spoke the truth. Not that you meant to say the truth. You spoke the truth because you don't really have a husband, do you? You've got several there, and the one you're living with now isn't your husband. So yes, you said that quite truly, all right. That's not what it means to worship the Lord with truth. How does she respond to the sudden, immense confrontation with cosmic, divine, eternal truth? Suddenly her whole being is before her. She does what we all do under the law. She escapes it, she evades it. Suddenly she becomes a theologian, says, "Oh, I see that you're a great teacher. Now, I've always wondered about this. Tell me, should we worship in Jerusalem on this man? Some say this and some say that." Nothing to do with her five men. That's how we are. We love to escape, yes, even into theology, if we can in that way escape the demands of the truth about ourselves in the law. But we've got to confess what St. Paul says, "Yea, let God be true and every man a liar." Let God be genuine and all of us sinners are fraud. That's a starting point. But we can really only afford to do that if we have come to know that God is the kind of God with whom it is safe to be truthful. We can only admit the truth about ourselves, that we are sinners under the sentence of death, because we have a God who has passed that sentence upon himself, borne it on our behalf, has won the victory, and gives us forgiveness, life, and salvation. And where does he do that? In some bodiless, bloodless, abstract way? No. The Spirit flows precisely out of that body of Christ from which proceed water and blood, and there are three that bear witness, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three come to the same thing. Just as we get God, we find God, not in the sky, but in the body of the Lord, in the incarnate Savior, we know no other God. So we find the stream of salvation that flows from his side. We find that not in vague spiritualizings of our own. We find it in the holy river of salvation that flows for us, in the holy means of grace he has established. These are outward things. See what Paul says in 2 Corinthians about the glory of the New Testament ministry, that is, of the ministration of salvation. These are all outward things, an outward gospel, outward baptism, outward Eucharist, outward absolution. Yes, it is through these outward channels that the Holy Spirit really works and creates something new in us and renews and cleans up this interior that needs it so much. So to worship God in spirit and in truth is not the internal versus the external. It is the true versus the false, the divinely given versus the humanly invented, God's gift versus man's own speculations, experiences, and preparations. And dear friends, many of the things that are today given out as being super spiritual, the whole Pentecostal thing, is not spiritual at all. It appeals to fleshly instincts, to a fleshly religiosity, a foot-tapping, bodily drivenness, which is not of the Spirit, whose worship is not a physical drivenness, not a hormonal drivenness, but it is the pure giftedness of God by his word and sacrament, unlike the animal sacrifices and so on. So, to worship God in spirit and in truth is to receive, above all, to receive from God all that he has given us in his Son. Faith, which is the ultimate worship of God, the only real worship of God. Faith is nothing but receiving what God gives in the mercy in his Son, to say yes and amen. And then we respond yes with our bodies, to present our bodies a living sacrifice according to our calling in life and according to that truth that we confess, especially yesterday. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons and three persons in one God. The truth of the gospel above all. And that, there's nothing more spiritual than that. There's nothing more spiritual than the gospel of God. To him alone be glory in the church, now and forever.